Welcome to Chamberlain University's MSN CourseCast. Each episode in our series will introduce and discuss key concepts from the modules in one of your courses. These episodes are intended to enhance your learning when you're on the go, so feel free to listen to them anytime and anywhere.
Hi, everybody. My name is Dr. Carrie Simpson, and I am an associate professor for the MSN Accelerated track. And today on our podcast for NR 664, we're going to be discussing shared leadership. And my guest today is Dr. Mariah Hawken. Dr. Hawken, would you come off and introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity. My professional background includes working as an acute care bedside nurse for 8 years, serving as a clinical nurse leader or CNL in a 40-bed general medical unit for 5 years, and a variety of teaching experiences, including clinical, online, and face-to-face for various universities. I received my CNL education through Grand Valley State University in 2013 and my DNP from the U of M in Michigan in 2017. The clinical nurse leader, MSN, is such an inspirational role as it is so versatile, yes. And you have the ability to be a change agent for positive patient outcomes through leadership and enhanced skills.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Hawken, for being with us today. So one of the items I wish to discuss with you is, what is shared leadership?
As discussed in the course, shared leadership is a type of lateral or horizontal decision-making model, which encourages input from all stakeholders. Shared leadership differs from traditional leadership styles because this type of model spreads leadership responsibilities in a horizontal fashion instead of from the top down. Batalden and Davidoff, in their 2007 publication, describe shared leadership as a combined and unceasing effort of everyone to make the changes that will lead to better patient outcomes, better system performance, and better professional development. Shared leadership can be found at the micro, meso, or macro level of the organization. I want to take a minute to discuss the dynamics of the micro, meso, and macro system interaction in terms of shared leadership, as discussed by Berwick 2001. It is interesting to note micro system thinking did not begin until 2000. The significance for micro system thinking and performance in the U.S. healthcare system was highlighted by Berwick when he described a sequential and interactive element that needs to work together in order for high quality care to be delivered. The patient and community as the primary unit interfaces with the microsystem of care delivery, which interacts with the macro system and then functions in the environmental context. The microsystem is the essential block of the point where the care delivery must work well to improve the quality of the process outcome or the work of the professionals. This is why it is so important to gain input from those working and interacting at the microsystem level when planning any project or change. So again, I did just want to touch base on that microsystem discussion because that is traditionally where the CNL is working. And also, again, the importance of shared leadership as really the microsystem is where, you know, the work is happening and those changes are taking place.
Thank you, Dr. Hawken, for an overview of these systems. So how does shared leadership impact patient outcomes?
So there's no doubt that shared leadership impacts positive patient outcomes. By incorporating the views and suggestions of the people doing the work firsthand, the root cause of a process problem or flaw can more quickly be identified and rectified. The individuals doing the work firsthand can also have great insight into what solutions may or may not be viable. Shared leadership and lateral decision-making, when done correctly, has been shown to allow for faster responses in dealing with complex issues. For example, when the hospital implemented medication reconciliation, they lumped this task at admission and discharge in with other nursing tasks. Due to time constraints with several other nursing tasks on admission and discharge, lack of intimate knowledge of various medications by newer nurses, poor understanding of pharmacy resources, and other nursing barriers, medication errors were common and frequent within this admission medication reconciliation process. Because of the frequency and severity of medication errors, the process was reevaluated. The input of frontline nurses, pharmacy techs, pharmacists, physicians, and mid-level providers was elicited. Through the process of utilizing the input of all involved stakeholders and sharing the leadership in this project team, a viable option was created with pharmacy techs completing all admission reconciliation and providers completing all discharge medication reconciliation. So a few years after implementation, the process was still running smoothly and the incidence of error was very rare. So that again is just an example highlighting how when administration or the top makes a decision and doesn't elicit the input of the stakeholders, the process many times does not go smoothly.
Thank you. Can you think of a time, and I'm throwing in a question here that I'm not, you know, I know it's additional, but I just wanted your experiences. Can you share a time where this shared leadership in your own experiences, the CNL role, improved patient outcomes?
Yes. And, you know, instead of maybe one example, just my experience as a CNL at the microsystem level, I worked hand in hand with the manager at the microsystem. And this was so important because it really made, you know, us more of a leadership team rather than, you know, one authoritarian who was, you know, making decisions again from the top down. We very much work closely with our charge nurses and patient care coordinators and really took the input of the team. So again, in my experience, working closely with that manager on the unit is very important. A lot of times our duties would sort of overlap. You know, I would help with you know, onboarding and hiring if needed. And same thing, you know, with the manager, if was opportune and she was available and there were some people that needed to finish up some education, she was happy to, you know, jump in and help with that. So really those close relationship and, you know, sharing of ideas and thoughts as a leadership team are so important.
Thank you so much for that example. So I wanted to go into how the impact is of an organization. So how does the culture of an organization impact shared leadership?
So it really is essential in order for lateral decision making to work, to have the culture of the organization support this type of leadership model and collaborative decision making. Organizational cultures that promote shared leadership are those that seek continuous improvement, and they are most likely high reliability organizations or HROs. High reliability organizations are those who demonstrate excellence in quality and safety across all services and have remained free from catastrophic quality or safety events for long periods of time. They most likely have magnet designated status, which is a designation for those organizations demonstrating excellence in nursing. So again, those organizations that support continuous quality and improvements in safety are generally those that have a culture of shared leadership.
Great information. What are some examples of shared leadership teams?
Shared leadership teams are often found in executive teams, task forces, and project management. So they are really found, you know, across the board in microsystems, mesosystems, or macrosystems levels. These teams are high functioning and incorporate the knowledge, ideas, and expertise of each member. By incorporating the diverse skills of each member, barriers are quickly identified, removed, and solutions are readily determined to produce maximum results. Sustainability is a key factor with the outcomes of these teams, as the intervention or solution takes into account the perspective of the people doing the work in the identified area. By incorporating this viewpoint, solutions are more likely to work well into the current workflow or process.
So you mentioned above project management. So how does shared leadership affect project management?
First, I wanted to share a definition by the Project Management Institute. And project management is defined as the application of knowledge, skills, tools, and techniques to project activities to meet project requirements. Project management is accomplished through the application and integration of the process management of initiating, planning, executing, monitoring and controlling, and closing. So imagine if the team only took into account the knowledge, skills, tools, and techniques of the project lead or one individual person on the team. Most likely, the project lead or individual does not have all the resources to adequately encompass all aspects of the project in terms of the necessary project activities, knowledge, and skills. Gaps would be frequent and many. The project would certainly not be as successful as that of a shared leadership project approach, if successful at all. While engaging all stakeholders or team members, the big picture can be uncovered, gaps identified, and barriers overcome. Project success is certainly more likely in a shared leadership approach, and sustainability is achieved.
So, Dr. Hawken, in your experience, what do you think are some of the reasons where the shared leadership might become an issue when talking about projects? And, you know, we do look at, you know, when there's a leader on the team, and sometimes others may not address or come up, you know, and really engage in that. What are some suggestions you may have from your experiences where you can encourage others to be involved in these projects? And like you said, not just one will have all the resources. So if there's a project lead, they may not have all the resources in, and others may have some great opportunities or some resources to share in that. However, you know, being new in their role or being new in this clinical nurse leader certification and education, you know, they may have some nervousness about that, as we all do in new roles. And what are some suggestions you may have?
So one thing that really drives a project team, and certainly there may not be a whole lot of control over this, but a lot of the success and the way the team works does revolve around who the leader is. So it's important to have somebody who is dynamic, who is asking questions of the team, and really eliciting those viewpoints. Too often, you may find yourself on a project team where that team lead may walk in and feel like they already know what the solution is. They're just going through the motions of having a team together and really not eliciting that team response. And some people are better than others at this. Some leaders truly want the input of others, but they just don't know how to, you know, draw that out of people. So a couple things that are great start is really identifying each member of the team, addressing, you know, why is that person there? Why were they invited to be on that team? What skills, knowledge, expertise did they have to share? And so defining, you know, who that is in the room. Also, you know, calling out jobs for each person. So, for example, if you're working on a project and there's an educational piece to it, you may have, you know, one or two people in the room that are your education specialist or work with the staff development department or something like that. And so you really want them to be in charge of maybe creating educational materials. You know, who would be the best group to educate? How would it be the best mode to educate? So calling those jobs to each person based on their expertise in the room, so everybody has a good understanding of what their role is. And then also creating, you know, deadlines. So having actionable activities to take away from those meetings. So everybody is leaving with a piece to follow up with, maybe more information to be gained, maybe a draft of a PowerPoint presentation, things of that nature. And then have a deadline like, hey, so we're going to meet again in 2 weeks and we want you to bring, you know, your whatever results you have produced back with you to share. So that way everyone is really engaged. Everyone has a role. Everybody has a clear job to do, and that way it makes it pretty hard for people not to engage because they know that everyone, you know, they're playing a part.
Such great points. And so this actually another great segue into the next question I had. What is the CNL's role within shared leadership?
Part of the role of the clinical nurse leader is to participate on shared leadership teams in order to make recommendations for improvement at system levels, whether it be micro, meso, or macro. And this was discussed in our weekly course content as well. So as stated in our text, initiating and sustaining the clinical nurse leader role, clinical nurse leaders are positioned in microsystems and serve as leaders of teams who often identify process or system concerns and then work with interdisciplinary colleagues to implement evidence-based interventions to achieve improvement. So given the CNL placement in the microsystem, their knowledge of quality improvement strategies and tools and unique shared leadership capabilities, they often lead projects to address those clinical, financial, and satisfaction initiatives. So as outcome managers, CNLs often serve as the identifiers of concerns, and they marry project management, leadership, and quality improvement all together to bring disciplined, evidence-based interventions so that metrics can be viewed as stagnant or resistant to change, and the CNLs are focusing on those metrics for improvement. CNLs work closely with the unit managers to provide the best outcomes for patients, families, and staff. So again, CNLs are a crucial member of the team in shared leadership, whether it's at the micro, meso, or macro system level, working on projects at all levels of the system in the organization, providing that bedside, that clinical component, that expertise to share along the line, and to make sure that quality improvement and change processes really are evaluated and have the best possible solutions.
Such great points. And so with the CNL being a newer, even though we've been doing as nurses, you know, really part of that interdisciplinary shared leadership collaboration, the CNL itself is a newer designation. And so how can our CNLs that are part of this shared leadership really enhance where they can show other interdisciplinary members their value to the team? Have you ever had an experience where maybe a physician or a unit manager, like I said, a unit manager can be a CNL, but you know, the CNL absolutely, as you portrayed here, has a different focus. So have you ever had an experience, or can you share some ideas of working on a project in that shared leadership and maybe having to really reinforce your value to the shared leadership and those opportunities?
Yes, and I think one big thing is, you know, the longer that you're in practice and the more you can network and get to know people, the more they trust you, and they're also, they respect your position and, you know, your decision-making capabilities. So for me, it was a little bit easier in practice because I worked at the bedside in the organization where I then took on the role of the CNL. So I had a lot of connections and a lot of people knew me in relationships within that hospital. So that was a leg up that I had. But certainly, as you know, you are working and producing positive outcomes, eliciting the input from others, you know, even just asking for input of other team members in the interdisciplinary collaboration builds those relationships and helps the CNL network. Certainly, the support of the manager and having the manager show faith and trust in the CNL to the team, that also really enhances the role. When I first took on the role of the CNL, I was the first CNL in the hospital to have that specific role. So I put together a presentation for hospital administration showing the benefits of, you know, what is the CNL role? What are the benefits of the CNL role? What can the CNL do for the organization? And really garnered a lot of support within that role from administration. Again, I'd like to point out, you know, even in our text, there's so many great examples of projects and case studies in which the CNLs had made such a positive improvement in the organization. So the CNL role is, if you want to put it as, it's really a one-stop shop for you know, quality improvement at all levels throughout the hospital, and really, you know, a pivotal role. And I appreciate that you mentioned that it's a newer role, because it was it didn't officially come out until 2008. But if you think about it, as I was talking about earlier, the emphasis on the microsystem and the value that was placed at the microsystem level was really not even discussed until the year 2000. So we're a little late in the game here at you know, breaking down those silos of healthcare, looking at those individual microsystems and individual pieces of an organization, whether it's a hospital, whether it's a primary care practice, whether it's a surgical center. I mean, every specialty within and every role within those settings adds to the value of the organization or the clinical setting at large. So again, the CNL is a versatile role that could play into any of those settings and is that one-stop shop for quality and safety improvement.
And I really, really appreciate your feedback on that. The other thing, because you absolutely talked about organizations and healthcare organizations, but how can shared leadership activities build community partnerships?
So sharing again from our text, our textbook within the course, the community can be envisioned as part of the microsystem. When the population of patients at the microsystem level is cared for within the system. So certainly anywhere you are in any setting, you're taking care of the community members. So failing to take into consideration where these patients are going or coming from and the neighborhood and community support available really creates a fissure in the system. This failure underscores the silos, again, that I was talking about, that healthcare continues to reinforce, which are often related to reimbursement methods, unfortunately. A well-connected community is achieved when people feel part of a web of diverse and interlocking relationships with the healthcare organizations present. So these networks sustain and shape an integrated and dynamic social and organizational environment within the organization. An example of a shared leadership team which promotes community and that I had the opportunity to be a part of at the hospital in which I worked was the creation of a patient and a family council within the organization. And many hospitals, large primary care facilities are creating councils or committees that include patients. That include patients that may have had a long length of stay at the hospital, or really any patient that is interested in getting involved and garnering their feedback. And so these types of councils, again, invite community members to work alongside with the organizational personnel to improve healthcare at the point of care, because these are the people that were receiving the care. They have a whole different perspective than us as healthcare workers on the other end. So the professional values of the CNL support active involvement within the community and on these types of committees. When assuming responsibility for the comprehensive care of individuals, families, and population group, the CNL participates in the care of the communities where their clients live, work, and play. And the CNL considers the views and opinions of those community members when enacting change and initiatives. One example from practice is a CNL that I knew who worked in a very busy ER, and she was fantastic at working with those repeat visit ER patients. So those patients that came in all the time and their chronic illnesses just did not seem to be managed well. So she really took it upon herself to network with specialists, with primary care groups, with community resources in relation to these patients. She would personally reach out to these different care providers involved in a patient's outpatient care, collaborate with them, discuss what was going on. She would develop individual stoplight education tools for these patients. So, hey, green is good. These are the symptoms you're experiencing. Yellow, you're starting to, you know, feel sick. This is when you need to call your provider or do X, Y, and Z interventions. And red is when you need to come back to us. She even went as far as there was a primary office that was just not call her back on one of her patients. And so it was right down the street from the hospital. And so one day she was quite frustrated and she just put on her coat and walked down to the primary care office, was able to talk with that patient's physician and get a care plan in place for that patient. So again, she had just so much dedication for these patients and the difference that they saw in the number of these same patients coming over and over again to the ER drastically improved within a year's time. It was really quite amazing. So again, just an example of the CNL developing those relationship with community members and other providers.
Such an excellent example. And Dr. Hawken, I so appreciate you coming today to discuss shared leadership, not only in the healthcare organization, but also in the community. Do you have any final words you wish to share?
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me today. And just a couple wrap-up conclusions. Shared leadership is a type of horizontal decision-making model, which considers the input from all involved stakeholders. Shared leadership promotes positive patient outcomes by considering the views and input of those doing the work, which leads to quicker identification of barriers and solutions. Organizations must have a culture of support for shared leadership models and support these types of teams within executive decision-making, project management, and other task forces. Within project management, shared leadership leads to more effective work and successful projects. And the CNL is in a unique position to support shared leadership at the micro, meso, and macro level. The CNL holds the broad picture of work done from the bedside to administration. I hope you enjoyed our discussion today on shared leadership, and thank you for listening. Take care.
Thank you, Dr. Hawken.
Now that you've explored some important concepts related to your modules, if you have not done so already, please turn your attention to the course materials in your online course for additional application and practice of these concepts.